the next 5 seconds. So, good morning, everybody. You're welcome to today's podcast. This is a process. We're going to talk about Nigeria. I don't know. I don't like talking about Nigeria because it has a lot of problems and a lot of solutions. But since when people have started talking about Nigeria, there has not been like a concrete solution. Nobody has even taken the steps to make anything right. But today's topic will be looking at the way forward. Should we go for an election? Or revolution is actually the only solution to all our problems? And on today's call, we have our Revolution Now representative, Daniel. And we have African Soldier himself, Movement of the People member, Josh Dre.
Yeah, what's up?
So I would like to get Daniel's introduction to what he feels. Because me, I feel like election is like the only way we can make things right. It's the safest way we can even make things right. I don't see a revolution happening in Nigeria. Even if it happens, there's a lot at stake for us to lose as a people. So, Daniel, what do you think?
Okay, let me thank you for having me. Let me just refer back to this quote as far back as 1966 by Nigeria's first school blogger. Now he said, and I quote, that our enemies are the political profiteers, the swindlers, the men in high and low places that seek bribes and demand 10%, those that seek to keep the country divided permanently so that they can remain in office as ministers or VIPs, at least the tribalists, the nepotists, those that make the country look big for nothing before international circles. Those that have corrupted our society and put the Nigerian political calendar back by their words and deceit. Now, that was as far back as 54 years ago. Nigeria is still in the same quagmire. We have had a series of elections from that point till this point. But you know what happened? The same political class are the ones that are shuffling themselves and putting themselves in. And what's happening? The country is degenerating, underdevelopment is the other of the day, corruption, food security, poverty, hunger. And we are saying that it can't continue like this. We can't keep doing the same thing and hoping for a different outcome. The only solution to this problem is a change of class. The ruling class has failed. They will continue to be failed. Doesn't matter how many elections you have, even the elections are being rigged. So the only solution is the revolution of the people. Do you understand? I don't know if you understand what I am saying.
Yeah, I understand you. I get you.
Yeah. It's only a people's revolution that can actually bring about the change that we want. Because nobody will give you power on the platter of good. Nobody will say, okay, because you are a good person, I'm going to keep. But no, people have to stand up and say we want an end to this
system. Yeah, you have to grab the power.
Yeah.
So, Josh Dre, what do you think? Is it right? Revolution, election, which one do you feel?
Well, thank you for having me. And honestly, I feel like you said, I would start from there. We can't keep let me use this popular saying that you can't keep doing the same thing and getting the same answers and keep doing that same thing. It means there needs to be a change, you understand? Mm-hmm. If you're trying a particular system and it doesn't work, it means there needs to be a change. And so On this note, I would say I think revolution is going to be the answer, in the sense that we need a total revolution of mindset, conscious revolution, total revolution of mindset. The way people think it needs to be changed. We need a systematic revolution that totally changes the system, because, like I said already, you can't keep doing the same thing and getting the same answers, and you sit down comfortably. Even as a man, if you're trying a particular system and it doesn't work for you, you try other options to get your desired solution. So I feel in that sense, like I said already, a revolution is going to be the answer, in the sense that we need to find a way by which we can totally erase the ruling class, because is Nigeria currently is more like we're recycling leaders. You have people who have ruled before, they're coming back under the disguise of democracy, you understand? Mm-hmm. And they keep ruling us. So you can't have the same person with the same ideology or the same perspective trying to tell you that, okay, now under the disguise of democracy, I'm going to do something different. No, it's more like you give a thief and you take it from a thief and you give it to another thief in the disguise of he's a better thief, you understand? Yeah, so I feel a revolution is going to be the answer. And I always say, it doesn't have to be brutal, but at the end of the day, there's a popular saying that you don't negotiate your freedom, you fight for it. So if it has to be violent, I don't encourage violence in so many ways. But if it has to be, what's the word now? If it has to be extreme, I'll use the word extreme. Let me not use violence. To be safe, if it has to be extreme, then it has to be, because you can't sit with a person, you are a slave, for example, and you can't sit with a person, okay, give me this and I'll go. You have to fight for your freedom. Once you're negotiating, okay, I'll do this, I will not do this, and it's no longer freedom, it's a different kind of slavery entirely. So on this note, like I said already, I would also agree with Mr. Daniel that I think a revolution is going to be the answer. A revolution that results to us getting it right at election. Do you understand? That's why I started with a conscious revolution that erases the mindset of the ordinary Nigerian, from the market woman, from those at top positions, that's the professionals, to the elite, the political elite. That's the sort of revolution we need.
But one thing is certain: once this revolution happens, the leaders of the revolution will become the politicians. So are you telling me now that they won't bring their own selfish interest into the game, or what exactly are you guys saying?
Okay. Should I answer that?
Yeah, answer.
Okay. Like I said, okay, I think I've had this discussion with somebody, and just like J.O. has rightly said, it starts with the mind, the revolution from the mind, the revolution of consciousness, bringing the people to realize that being in government doesn't mean that you have to doesn't give you the opportunity to exploit others, doesn't give you the opportunity to steal funds meant for the betterment of the country. And revolutionaries are different from politicians, because number one, they are guided by the love for country, and they are guided by the ideology to serve for the poor. Imagine I'm fighting. Doesn't make sense if I fight a system for a particular thing, and then I get there and I continue to do the same thing. No, it's illogical that I will fight a system for doing something, and then still get there and still continue to do the same thing. No, that's why we say a people's revolution, not a revolution by some set of people,
some group,
by faction. No, we mean a massive movement of the people. Imagine when the people can successfully carry out that revolution, they will be the ones in power. They will be the ones in power. So it is their interest that will definitely be met. I hope you understand your fears are legit. That okay, this new set of people, the revolutionary leaders, when they get here, it's not the same thing. But I am telling you categorically that the difference between revolutionaries and politicians is that revolutionaries are guided by a certain love for country and a desire to operate a government for the poor. So basically that's what I would say that.
But speaking on this revolution thing we are talking about, the Nadeko generation, the generation that are in power today, they took the same step and they have power today now, but they're not doing what they promised to do. So what's the difference? What's going to make that difference? I'm still skeptical about it. What's going to make that difference? What's going to make that change?
No, sorry. Can I attempt that question?
Yeah. Joshua, you're allowed.
Like I told you before, you can't negotiate your freedom. You can't negotiate. They negotiated. You understand?
Exactly.
There were some negotiations. They didn't fight for it. You understand? So that's why if you say they are here today, they are still doing worse, or they are still doing the same thing. It's because it's more like me and my master, my boss. I work under him for a while, and I want to leave him. And I want to start my own establishment. But before I can leave, he gives me certain conditions. So I'm still working for him in disguise. So I think that alone has answered the question already.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. That alone has answered the question. Yeah, because they were not for the people. It was more like a set of people coming together for their own selfish gain, for whatever they would get in return. That's why we say it's not a movement for... Okay, let's say five people will just come together and start an organization or a political association. It's a movement of the people, mass movement of the people. Every Nigerian deserves to come out and say enough is enough. Not when a few set of people will come and say, okay, this is what we want because we want this, we are tired of this. No, the people. Without the people, it can't work. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Without the people, it can't work, because at the end of the day, it will end up being a circle. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
It will end up being a circle. We'll return back to where we started from if it's not a movement by the people. You understand? So that's my own opinion on that.
Daniel, do you have anything to contribute to say?
Yeah, like he has rightly said, which
I want you to do something, Daniel. Sorry to cut you short. I want you to do something. I want you to I don't know how to put it, but I want you to change the mind, like the way you will speak to somebody. Like I want you to change the mind and change the views of people, because some people will listen to this podcast now. I want them to see revolution in a new light, number one, and I want them to see what Shoure is doing. He's not a black sheep. But he's doing what he has to do as a patriotic Nigerian. As a patriotic Nigerian, you owe your country a right to speak up when things are going bad, rather than keep short and keep silent.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will tell you that Shoure is wala is too much, his skin is too much. No, I don't want to hear that again. So I want you, with the way you answer this question, just chip that in too. So you change the mindset of a lot of people about speaking up against the evils going on in Nigeria.
So let me start from the negotiation part. Like he has said, we didn't really fight for our independence. It was negotiated. We negotiated with the United Kingdom, Great Britain. So there was really no struggle for freedom. Maybe that's why the country is the way it is today. And then talking on the struggle for freedom, hello?
Yeah, you were saying something before.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you can go on, continue.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. So I don't think Nigerians are against a revolutionary movement. I just think that we are skeptical. We are afraid, so to speak. We are scared of coming out. And this is because we feel that these guys, I mean, the oppressors, the ones that have kept us in this position of backwardness and underdevelopment, feel they are powerful. But we are forgetting that the power that they have is gotten from the people. And when they are not serving the people, we have an obligation towards to call their attention to it, to demand that they was that they serve the people. Because what's the essence of giving somebody power and the person does not meet your basic needs? The person doesn't provide the things that are necessary for you to survive. So people like Shorea have come out to say, enough is enough. You have had over 60 years to put this nation forward, but all we keep getting is maladministration, corruption, insecurity, poverty, hunger, and they are saying no. The people are tired. The people do not want this system to continue again. And it's just unfortunate that some Nigerians still thrive on propaganda from the oppressors, because obviously what Shorea is doing is against the system, and the system would always try to blacklist him, try to spread propaganda about him, just
back.
Discourage
him.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Just to stop people from supporting him. But at the end of the day, the truth would become clear. Shorea has everything going for him. He's a successful media person. He has his family abroad. He has a life abroad. So he could have decided to just go away and enjoy himself. But he feels that I'm a Nigerian and I have an obligation to do what? To sensitize my people and tell them that what? To stand up for their rights. They should speak up. They should speak up and say enough is enough to this system that is perpetrating suffering and backwardness and underdevelopment. And I think every Nigerian needs to key into that. And we need more people like Shorea, more people like Diki, Adeoju, and the host of them, Aisha Yusufu. We need people, more and more people like that to come up and speak up. And talking about an armed, let me just quickly talk about an armed revolution. Nobody in his right senses, or his right senses, would want to pick up gun and start fighting against the government. But exactly. When you, like Mandela rightly said, he said, the oppressor determines the nature of the struggle. And that exactly. At some point, you can only fight fire. Yeah. You get? Mm-hmm. If you fight an oppressive government with the court, constitution, law, and order, and everything that the constitution says, the thing is, while you are fighting with the court, they would use divisive means. They would use the police, they would use the army, they would use the armed forces to oppress and repress those guys. And then we are saying that people that have been speaking up in Nigeria have been doing it with the court, the constitution, law, and everything. But what you find out is that nothing has really changed. In fact, some of them have been used as martyrs, Ken Saro, Wiwa, and the host of them. They've been used.
Josh Drew, do you want to come in?
First, I'll start by saying, okay, all right.
Daniel, you can go.
We can hear you. Daniel,
Hey, just continue, Josh Dream.
Okay. I just hope we don't reach that point.
Daniel.
Yes, I can hear you.
You have to recap a bit on that the part before you go to the end, because there was
a cut. Yeah, we lost network at the moment. Yeah, so
okay. So I said that nobody is in support of violence or an armed struggle, but at some point, like Mandela has said, you can only fight fire with fire. And I hope we don't get to that point in Nigeria where citizens realize that the only way they can have better lives is
is by taking arms up against the system, the government.
Yeah. Okay. So I would say first, I would start by saying the arrest and the continuous arrest of Shorere tells a lot about how where we are as a people, where we are as a society, where we are as a country. It's not Shorere now is not the slave. Now it tells a lot that every Nigerian, every average Nigerian, or you understand what I mean by the regular Nigerian is a slave to the political elites and the ruling class. It tells a lot. If a man can come out and say enough is enough, and you, in fighting back, you lock him up, you try to torture him and whatever, it tells a lot that nobody in Nigeria is free.
Yeah.
So if Nigerians, Shorere's arrest, continuous arrest is symbolic, if every Nigerian can sit back and try to look at it from this perspective and say, this man, this particular person is trying to say, stop this, because the people are suffering, the people are crying, the people are not happy, you understand? And in exchange, the only answer, the only solution the political elite or the ruling class can give is to take that person and lock that person up. Look at the Essence movement, for example. The reason they continuously kept saying, who is your leader? Who is your leader? Because how the system, from history, how the system fights revolutionaries or revolution, how the system fights revolution is by and picking certain people who they feel are the one commanding others to follow suit, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And they pick this particular person. Look at Mandela, for example. When they pick this particular person, thinking the fire would die down. So the reason why the Essence movement was able to go for a longer time than any other protest we've had in Nigeria, you understand? Like in New Nigeria, for example, is because they could not and pick a particular person. When they ask this particular person, there's no leader. Shorere is not the leader. Fals is not the leader. Tunkuti is not the leader. The Peace Square brothers are not the leader. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is leader. Everybody is fighting for a particular cause. That's why we say it's meant to be the movement for the people. What is the people? How many of the people can you lock up? How many of the people can you lock up? Understand?
Yeah.
That's where it comes in question. So every Nigerian has to sit back and stand back. If a particular person can come out and say enough is enough, and in exchange, the only answer the government can give is to arrest that person. It shows that even you yourself, in the comfort of your home, you are not free.
You are not safe. They can come and pick you up from your house.
Exactly. That's what it shows. If you ever decide to stand up to them, it shows that you are not free. You are a slave. You understand? So if every Nigerian will sit back and understand this, then I think you understand the reason for revolution. They would take a particular person crying out for a change as a black sheep, like you stated. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
So when Daniel was talking, he pointed out something. He said the Nigerian picture was not forced for. It was negotiated. I want to bring us back to a statement the Vice President of Nigeria made at some point in time. He said the unity of Nigeria is non-negotiable. Can you hear me?
The
unity of Nigeria is non-negotiable, and I'm asking myself, what does it mean by the unity of Nigeria is non-negotiable? There is no paper backing Nigeria. There is no agreements that okay, these people signed this and say we want Nigeria. This other person signed this and say we want Nigeria. This other person signed this and say we want Nigeria. There is no paper. There is nothing. There is no concrete evidence backing such statements. So I want to get your views on that. Is he right or is wrong, or is just speaking out of the fact that he's a president, so he has to support the unity, the people that brought him into power?
Yeah, Can I answer this?
Yeah, you can. Everybody is going to answer.
Okay. So, Nigerian state is very funny. Because the only characteristically Calabash Nigeria to always address grievances with force. To say my leg is spinning, to say you must stand by force. To say I want to sit, no, you must stand. We have been in this marriage in court since 1914. Not upon a thousand questions and amalgamated by someone who is not even from the north, not from the south, by a foreigner, not the God. Bring everybody together and say, okay, this has to be called Nigeria. Everybody came to see whether you agree or not, you have to be Nigeria. And it is funny that at this point, we have not said this amalgamation and say, things are not working. What is the way forward? These are the things we are supposed to be saying. So somebody who is the vice president or president is coming out to say our unity or the nation, the Nigerian nation, which was not even created by Nigerians, non-negotiable. It's so funny. It's funny because it shows you that anytime the Nigerian state feels that there is a grievance or there is a complaint, first move use force. And it's just that. We all know that Nigeria is support of the separation of a consensus talk. We continue and basic thing. Should we continue as a nation? If not, if yes, how do we operate a nation that is beneficial to every Nigerian? Not the excuse for a nation that we have now. Understand me. Yeah, you guys.
Just do it.
Yeah. The question you said, based on the president, the vice president saying the unity of Nigeria is non-negotiable, and I'm trying to get your question clearly. So you are trying to relate it to us saying you can't negotiate your freedom, right?
Yes.
I feel it's two different things. Now, your people who are not free, do you get it?
Mm-hmm.
Who are not free are saying, in some other parts of the country, they are saying there's a marginalization. They are saying some people are not being treated fairly. They are saying a particular people keep getting particular positions. They are saying they cry from so many parts of the country saying is in favor of a particular group of people than others. You understand? It shows that there's a concern. So yeah, you don't always, like you said, we always try to use force. The political elite, they always try to use force. So the relationship between the average Nigerian, like I already stated, and the ruling class is like a slave master relationship. You do what I say. You understand? So now your people who have given you that mandate are saying, It's not a matter of dividing. It's not a matter of division. They are saying that if staying together as Nigeria is not in favor of a particular group of people, you understand? A particular group keep enriching themselves while a particular group keep crying and suffering. So now they are saying they don't want it anymore. There are solutions. You understand? There are solutions. It doesn't. Nobody is saying we have to divide at all costs. Now, the cry is, can we continue as Nigeria? We cannot continue as Nigeria. And if we can continue as one Nigeria, together, united, you understand? What are the solutions in place that will see to the fact that every territory in the country gets same allocation,
get same political opportunities,
get same benefits.
It's not as if you exactly. It's not like you come and say, okay, this time around the Northerners must rule. This time around this person. It goes back to the constitution. You understand? Mm-hmm. The constitution that is in favor of a particular people and in disfavor of a particular people. So now you can't relate when we say you can't negotiate your freedom and say the unity of Nigeria is not negotiable. We are not saying we must divide at all costs. What are the solutions you are putting in place? Are you planning to restructure? It must not be a restructuring whereby you divide the country. No. There are so many ways you can restructure the country whereby every Nigerian will see to it that, yes, of a truth, the country is working for every person, whereby the market woman in Oshodi or that trader in Asaba or that cow breeder in Kaduna does not feel like the lawyer in Lagos is getting something more than him. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we all work together, you understand, then we can stay united and everybody will be happy. But the fact that people are clamoring for restructuring, it shows that they are concerns. So now the question is, are you planning on meeting these concerns? You understand? It's two different things. You understand? It's different from when we say you can't negotiate freedom and when you say the unity is non-negotiable, if I make any sense thus far.
Yeah, you've made a lot of sense, man. So now, Nigeria has all these problems and everything is piling up. People are saying it's a time bomb. Then the day is going to explode. Well, only God knows what is going to happen. So today now, there's an election going on in Uganda. Bobby Wine is our preferred candidate against Museveni. I don't understand how somebody will be in power for 34 years, I think, and will still want to still hold on to power. I don't know. I can't make sense of it. Does anybody want to make sense of it for me? Because it's mad for me.
There's only one explanation for that. Museveni is intoxicated with power. Power corrupt, an absolute power corrupt, absolute.
Absolutely, exactly.
And,
when their time is near, the time is behaving. So that's true.
I just hope
that the ballot boxes will do justice to the cause of
Uganda.
Yeah.
That's true. But what usually happens in the dictators, especially African dictators, I don't think the election is free and fair. We can all see what has happened.
So there's that iota of doubt that the election is going to be free and fair.
Obviously, of course.
The denial of the European Union mission from observing the election. So I just hope that Uganda gets it right through election. But if they don't, then it just points to the fact that, like we have been saying, the only option the people would have would be to take up arms. Because if you use the ballot box, peaceful way of changing an oppressive government, and it doesn't work, then you are saying the only way we are going to go is through an armed revolution. And I just hope everything goes well in Uganda. Obviously, Bobi Wine is more than Uganda right now. It's more about a liberation struggle for Africa. Looking at elections also in other parts of Africa that can be positive. So let's just wait for the result.
Yeah. Okay. like you already said, I wouldn't want to say too much on that. So doesn't look as if we're repeating the same thing all over and all over again. So the thing is, power gets people drunk. It's obvious. Everybody wants power, and once you get hold of power, you don't want to let it go. Like we said, from scratch, even Nigeria. So it's no longer a Nigerian problem. It's an African problem. We've known this for too long. We've known this. So the thing now is, now the world is watching, and the election in Uganda is going to serve as a map for possibly every other African nation watching, because there's this mindset that if these people can get it right, why can't we? You understand? Mm-hmm. So if Uganda can get it right, it's going to be symbolic for the African nation, because we are watching and we hope that they get it right by ballot. But like we always say, this is Africa. The ruling class will want to try and play every game, and the problem is the people know all these games, all these old tricks. The people know every of these tricks, you understand? Mm-hmm. So now, like I always tell people, personally, I get tired of when I come and we all sit down and say, this is the problem. I'm more of a solution person.
Exactly.
What are we doing? Because I always tell people, if I ever
that
want
was,
to run
that was going
for
to be my next
position,
my next point of call. Like, what solutions? Yeah. What
okay.
steps are we
Sorry.
Taking?
Okay, like for me, for example, I always tell people whenever discussion comes up, if I would ever end up running for a political position in Nigeria, I would never use the opposition or the incumbent. Or whoever is in power currently at that point, I will never use their failures to fight against them, because everybody can see it clearly. It's not about attacking. It's no longer about attacking the personality. It's about what can you do? What are you coming to do? Not like you come and say, like we always hear, the opposition party they could not provide light. The opposition party, they could not do this, they could not do that. We are tired of hearing that. What are you coming to do? You understand? That is more of being solution driven. So I think we've gotten to a point whereby we need to stop coming and saying, we are tired. You are tired. What are you doing? If a man stays hungry for too long, you know how to get solutions. You go and make food. If you don't have food, you eat the street to get yourself food. That's how you that's solution driven. You understand? So I think we've gotten to a point whereby we need to start talking about solutions. So if Uganda can get it right, like we pray and we hope, then Africa can get it right. And if they can't get it right, we will still go back to our map plan, which is revolution. We have to let the ruling class all over Africa, we have to send a signal to them that enough is enough. We've taken it for too long, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
We no longer want to negotiate. We've tried, because all over the years we tried negotiating. Was the fact that when they come out and promise us a change in the next 4 years, we go back and we thumbprint on the ballot boxes, or sorry, on the ballot paper. It shows that that's the form of negotiation. So we are tired of negotiating. Now what we want to do now is we want to fight for it. We want to fight for that change, and it will only take the mass movement of the people. It will only take when the people come out together and say enough is enough. Thank you.
Yeah.
So to the next point, which George has already, the African soldier has already started talking about already. I'm not even always about the talking, because we've always talked. We know all the problems. We ourselves, we are facing the problems. What solutions? The solutions are even there. The solutions are there, but the implementation is what is giving most of them problem. Number one, and number two, there is this culture of neglect that the Nigerian society has embraced. We don't want to question these people in power. We don't want to speak to them. Some people say it's fake. You can't talk to people that are older than you. You can't talk to people that are more powerful than you and stuff like that. But what culture should we start bringing? What are the new cultures we should start bringing up, start breeding to change what we want to change in 2023 before Mr. Daniel and his revolution take over everywhere?
Okay, yes. It's important that we prefer solutions. It's not just about talking about problems and problems. And
yes, we need a new political culture.
We have to stop the master-servant relationship that we have with our leaders. We need to realize that our leaders are actually servants. Our servants. And once they are failing to perform their function, then they should be questioned. They should be questioned, and if possible, they should be removed. And Nigerian problems are not things that are out of this world. It's not rocket science. It's not as if we want to put a man on the moon or we are going to space. It is just the basic things. The government should provide basic amenities, good healthcare system, good roads. Abi?
Food,
good educational system. Like, these are basic things. And it's unfortunate that over the years, the government has been irresponsible in performing those functions. And the thing is, the only solution to the Nigerian problem is if we can get it right politically. And just like those of us in political science would say, it is politics that determines the rest of society. If we can't get things right politically, we can't get the right leaders to engender the political will that will cause change, then we would just be running around in circles without making the right movement. Because as a nation, you find out that natural resources is there, human resources there. We have produced a lot of intelligent people. We have people that are very creative. But the only thing that we have not gotten right up to this point is political leadership. And once we can get that through the right political culture, people getting involved, people questioning government, people demanding more from their representatives, then we would make significant progress. Thank you.
Let me get your question again rightly.
I should call the questions again.
Yeah, the last question, I didn't get it completely, so let me get it.
We've talked about the problems, we know the solutions. Implementation is the problem. People are not implementing, but at the same time, what are we doing to change that culture of neglect in the Nigerian political space? Because a lot of people, I've sat down with people, I've talked to people, I've messaged people, and somebody will tell me that Nigeria does not owe me anything, that me, I owe Nigeria. I'm like, what the fuck are you saying? That me, I submit all my rights to a government in an election, and you're telling me that they don't owe me anything, that I don't have rights to demand anything, but rather I'm meant to give all to them again. That's Pakistan. That's rubbish. Then you see some people come up and say, you should be grateful to Nigeria for giving you cheap university education. That's one of the things that's the only thing that Nigeria can offer its people. All this kind of culture, that deranged mentality of you not seeking your full rights. You have a right to your country, which is pay your tax, obey the rule of law, the constitution. Whatever it is, and live a law-abiding life. But one thing people forget is the fact that by the time you do all these things, and the political class, people in power, are not giving you what you voted them in power to do. They are not doing what you voted them in power to do. You also have a right to protest. You have a right to speak up. You have a right to talk. You have a right to ask questions. You have a right to insult if possible. You have a right to spit if possible. You have a right to throw water if possible, just to make sure you are ahead and your solutions is what you want.
Okay. Let me start with this. Mandela. Bob Marley said, emancipate yourself from mental slavery. So now he goes back to the fact that in Africa or in Nigeria, however we want to put it, we've gotten so used to the fact that we've gotten so used to suffering that whenever someone comes and does something that looks different, it seems like, wow. I tell people, you don't praise people for doing their job. You don't praise people for doing their job. You can encourage, yes, because when you encourage people, they want to do more, yes. But when you start saying, oh, hey, babao, stuff like that, when you start
they give you street lights. You're not ailing the man that put the street lights there and say, hey, thank you for the street lights. You're meant to tell him that, okay, you've done this, what's next?
Exactly. That's why we need to start demanding. We need to start demanding. We've got past the era of whereby every little thing we take it as it is. We need to start demanding as a people. We need to start asking questions. We need to start asking questions because at the end of the day, if our political class don't understand that they are there to serve and not to impose on the people, they're there to serve. They need to, if they don't understand, because I believe they understand, but they don't just want to act right. If they don't understand, we need to start teaching them now that you are not here as a lord over the people. You are here as a servant. Having a political class is public service. It's called public service for a reason. You're there to serve your people. You are meant to be accountable to your people. So if your people are saying you are not doing things right, there's a reason why they are saying so. So we need to understand that as Nigerians, and we need to start demanding. We need to start the ruling class. All these little things that we try to shy away from for a while because we've gotten so used to the fact that whenever someone does something, so what they do time is in Nigeria now. We know for a fact. We've known it. That's why I keep saying that we all know the problem we have in Africa. We can go on and say, this is it. Everybody in Africa knows. Even a little child can tell you the problem in Africa, in Nigeria. Because if you wake up a child and say, what don't you like now? In general question, you tell you, oh, I want light every time. That shows that there's a problem with power. So that little child knows. He may not be answering the question the way you want him or her to answer the question. But the fact that the person can tell you for a fact that he wants light, the little child, the 4-year-old, the 5-year-old child can tell you that he wants light, it shows that there's a problem of power in the country. So everybody in Nigeria knows the problem. So now the what we need to start preaching as a people or as a people who understand, now the message we need to start carrying as a people who understand all these things, because at the end of the day, everybody don't understand. So we need the few of us who understand, we need to teach those who don't. So the message we need to start passing across is, now this is the problem, what are we doing? These are the solutions. We need to start letting them know that they have a say, because it is not, because there's this belief that, oh, in Kanti Joba Awabati, so in Yoruba language, which translates to whatever our government says is what happens, you understand? Mm-hmm. Whatever our government says is what happens. We need to make everybody understand that that is not it for a fact. There's a reason why they say come and vote. There's a reason why we don't just wake up and say, oh, Fashola rulers, Shehu rulers, Dare rulers, Bode rulers, Nkechi rulers, Sulaimon rulers. There's a reason why we don't just wake up and say rulers. There's a reason why we go through a system of voting. There's a reason why people exercise their franchise. You understand? Because at the end of the day, we are selecting a representative that will represent us. So the people need to understand this fact that there's a reason why that process is in place. Because you can't just come out and say, I'm the president of the country. It tells the Lord that you have that power. But if at the end of the day, your power does not count in terms of when you vote, who you vote for does not emerge winner in whatever way it happens or however it ends up happening that way, we don't know. We don't want to go into that for a fact. Now, we don't want to go. It's an old song. It's already an old anthem. rigging is not a topic we need
Mr. Daniel, we say rig election.
Exactly. It's not a topic we need to keep capitalizing on. What we are talking about is now, if at the end of the day, that your power that you have, that mandate that you have to elect a person, and that person does not emerge winner, it shows that they are not letting your power work. So you have that power as a person to say no. You understand? Every Nigerian needs to understand that you have that power as a person. So we need to come together as one people. It needs to be one voice. Not that somebody is saying, okay, if you can give us lights, we'll keep quiet. If you can give us food, we'll keep quiet. Because that's the game our political elites keep playing. Whereby during election, they feed some people with rice. And they give some people they feed some people with rice, they give some people drinks or whatever they give them. It shows that the average Nigerian cannot afford those little things. And it shows that there's a problem in the country. So we need to make them understand that you can effect change if you come out and say, I don't just want rice every 4 years. I don't just want t-shirts with your face every 4 years. I want the right things being done. You understand? What do I want? I want a system whereby when I vote, whoever I vote for emerges winner. I want a system whereby when you are not doing it right, I can tell you are not doing it right, and you listen and you work on it. This goes back to the fact that we are not getting it right politically. And I always tell people that grassroots is going to be the biggest effect of change for Africa. We need to get it right from the grassroots. We have local government chairmen not doing anything. We have councillors not doing everything. We have senators not doing anything. We have House of Rep members not doing anything. We need to understand these little problems. There's a reason why there's House of Rep. There's a reason why they are senators, because they report directly to the people at a level that the president cannot get to. You understand? The president cannot get everywhere. They are meant to report to these people. What do you want? Let us tell these people. Let them do it. What do you want? But the fact that our senators, they don't understand this for a fact. Our representative, our local government chairman, they don't understand. It's more like an avenue to enrich themselves. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand that we are not getting it politically. So what are the solutions? This is the solution. We need to go back to the grassroots. We need to make the people at that level understand that someone cannot just come and say he wants to be your local government chairman. You just put the person because he gives you rice. Do you know that this person is meant to make sure you have good roads? You need to understand that fact. Do you know that this person is meant to make sure you don't just call them honorable, my honorable sir. No, they are working for you. They should work for you. How can you make them work for you? That's why we say we need to come out as a people and demand for this thing. And it's looking like it's a revolution of the people. We need to come out and say enough is enough. We need to come out and say, give us this or you can't do this. Give us that or you won't do this. Give us that or we won't have election. Give us that. It needs to be a people talking together. Not A saying this, B saying this. Not A saying, okay, I'm okay with rice, like I already stated. Not negotiation anymore. We've been negotiating for years. The fact that we go and vote and nothing works, and you tell us 4 years later and we vote again, shows that we are negotiating with you. Now we are saying enough is enough. And how can we get it right? Like we've already stated, it's a revolution. It's clear. It's clear. Because we keep waiting for next 4 years. We keep waiting, and we always forget that 4 years is not a long time. We keep waiting for next 4 years. We keep waiting for next 4 years. Because I tell you for a fact, if we don't put stop to things before 2023, and we go back blindly, and we do the normal process in 2020, things will get worse. Now, look at it from Obasanjo. People believe Obasanjo was a good president because the person now is worse.
Yes.
People believe Yar'Adua was a good president because the person now is worse. People believe Jonathan was a good president because the person now is worse. So, mind you, the person that will come in 2023 will make you know that Buhari was a good president. That is where we are as a people. You understand? Thank you very much. I will stop here.
On that note, we come to the end of today's podcast. Yeah. So I just want to say, in any opportunity we have, like, let's use that opportunity to educate sectors of people in our community, people in our environments. Let them know that this is what they have. At least, if you want to sell your vote, sell it with a plot of land, not bag of rice or one derica, 1,000. It's a lamb, I'm just joking. Don't sell your vote. Selling of votes is tantamount to selling your future, honestly. So I just want to say a big thank you to Josh Dre, African Soldier, and a big thank you to Mr. Daniel for coming on today's podcast. I would want to make this a regular something for us to continue, and every week we'll be coming up with topics and looking at ways of making our community better, ways of educating people on the Nigerian culture, ways of letting people know that you have a right to speak up, you have a right to talk, you can't just sit down and watch. You have a right to tell these people that this is what I want and this is what you should do. I just want to say a very big thank you to them, and next week hopefully we'll come back here again with another topic, because Nigerian problems never end. Next week it can be that somebody has stolen money again, that will now come and talk about the person again or something, but it always happens every week like that.
Yeah.
Stay safe and God bless.
No problem.
You too.
So, good morning, everyone. You're welcome to today's podcast. This is a process. We're still on the topic Nigeria as a people and as a nation. So, on today's podcast, we're going to be discussing the way forward for Nigeria. Of recent, the political party APC and PDP, they've been gathering registration for, I call it recruitment process. They've been looking for more members into their own party. I think it's because of what they saw at the NSAS protest, October the 20th of 2020, everybody knows. They saw the strength of the youths and the numbers which we possess, and the way we put the nation on standstill for that very, for 12 days. So what they're trying to do now, for me, what I think is recruit a huge number of youths to come into the party. Necessarily not for the fact to promote democracy or promote any other thing, but to enslave them to be loyal to some individual and not the nation or the people itself. So I just want to hear people's view on what it is, because that's my own take on it. So Kamil Kukus.
Yes, sir.
Please, I would like you to drop your 2 cents on what you think it is.
Okay, I think thank you very much, Kamil. I think I actually got your message very so late, and I think, but that is not an issue though. But I will just try to do justice to the questions and what you just highlighted. But I think firstly, let me first of all actually raise that notion that they are recruiting the youth. You know, this is a party politics of a thing, and as I've said, and I think I discussed that with you, sir, basically maybe yesterday or the day before yesterday, I tried to let you know that party politics is part of democracy. There's no way you can do away with party politics. Party politics is the one that will make our democracy to be thrive. Okay, let me give you, for instance, now we are having the registration, APC registration and everything. Since I can tell you that even though I'm an APC member, that doesn't mean I'm trying to speak well on that. There are still very like this bad side of the party. But I can tell you that the registration is just for the party to build its followership, to try to know, okay, what and what. It's just like a projection, like for a sense of a thing. So I think we should just try to get that okay, what, how many people are doing this and doing. And also we should not forget that the party politics of a thing is what are being controlled by the minority, and now the people want to take it back to the grassroots. I think that is just one. And for me, I think let me also go straight to the point about politics. As we all know that politics is a bit wicked us. But I think the very good thing for me to raise, because there's no way in party politics about money. And money politics assume greater dimension in this our current dispensation. However, the inability of the political parties and the contestants to put in place comprehensive and compressible manifesto that will enable the electorate to make a rational public choice. Meaningless choice. So sometimes when we look at all these political parties, look at the manifestos, and you see that manifesto is actually good on paper. But the implementation, that is my own problem. And that is why I tell people that if you want to start somewhere in politics, start from the world, the party politics. As my late dad used to tell me, he tell me that you can't be a great political leader if you are not being mentored properly in party politics. Are you following me, sir?
Yes.
So I think for us, if you want to try to say, okay, we are recruiting, of course, the next we recruit, regardless of whatever notion everyone wants to try to take it as, to assume it as. But the reality is that internal democracy needs to thrive in Nigeria. And for us to allow internal democracy to thrive is that the party should belong to the people, not to the world, to the elite. That is first thing. Then secondly, sir, you also raised a very important topic to over on doing, like you sent to me. We can't take one of the also thing I think we can't take away from all these things is about money politics. Are you hearing, sir?
Yes.
Money politics. Yeah, money politics. We can't take away money politics from all these things, because these are the consequences of money politics. Is evident in our day-to-day activities. Are you hearing me, sir?
Yeah,
it's actually evident, much evident in our day-to-day activities. And looking at it from another angle, if money politics can actually be eradicated, I'm telling you the fact, the negative consequences will actually be minimized. And the institutions that the Sadu is responsible, which is INEC, has been monetized and politicized. Okay, look at it recently. What happened after the INEC chairman, Professor Mahmoud Yakub, before he was screened. The man that was acting was an APC man. He was monetized. It has been politicized. So the institutions need to be autonomous. They need to be autonomous to make sure that all the laws or all the policies or all the bylaws or any laws that have been passed need to be implemented for us to minimize all these consequences that we've seen in our money politics. And also, sir, you talk about the civil society. The civil society
is the second part, but we need to hear other people's view on this first question.
Okay, on this first question, okay, let me continue then.
Okay.
Then, also, secondly, too, when you look at the party politics of a thing, the monetary inducement, as sometimes when we do primary elections, and most times when party do elections, is the party is a primary that you have the candidate. It's from the party primary that a candidate is going to emerge. And if the people doesn't vote for the primary, if people doesn't even have a say in the internal democracy of the party, how do you expect us to have a good candidate? And ultimately, the candidate might even emerge. So if a candidate, as we all know in Nigeria, almost most primary election in Nigeria is always what? Monetized. It's inducements, financial inducements. They'll tell you, okay, take this thing. And I can tell you categorically now that it will be very, very hard for any candidate in 2023. I don't know in other parties, but I can tell you to some last extent, I can tell you that if APC members, because how can you want to induce about how many members want to induce? And I think the primary election should be like a watchdog, the civil society watchdog, because that is where the candidate always emerge from. And without scrutinizing that candidate, I can tell you the consequences, or it is always evident in the leadership whenever they emerge, whether the candidate emerge, whatever the party emerge or presents as a candidate. So, looking at it also from I think the judiciary too. Let me just be like that too. The judiciary, as we all know, the NSAS, my brother, you mentioned about the NSAS of a thing and anything. Well, I think one of the major issues we have, I think it's just a lack of communication and everything. The institution that is having responsibility to enlighten the public about the policies, about the
the activities of the government, which is the National Education Agency, has not been performing. The public interest has not been taken seriously. Because when you look at it, sir, the almost all what's it called, radio stations or anything, they have been what, monetized. You see some okay, look at the headside of a thing now. We notice that some stations are carrying the news, the other stations are not carrying it. So you ask ourselves, let's ask ourselves, what is happening? Why is it that the media, which is supposed to be like in the fourth estate of the realm, why did they not report almost some of these issues during the headsides of a thing? So I think one of the issues is that we need to actually, the institution that is having responsibility need to take up their responsibility. They need to be very, very autonomous. The media, they need to give them free hand. So there should be regulation, but at the same time, there should be what, autonomous. The regulation doesn't mean there will not be autonomous. There must be autonomous. So I think, I also want to raise another very, very important and a very important issue here. So I'm so sorry for and the electoral system too, sir, in Nigeria. Yeah, it's so quite unfortunate that the winner takes all this thing mentality we have in Nigeria. Yeah, is actually, you know, is not actually good for our own polity, because it continues to breed conflict and everything, breed conflict so among ourselves within the party, and try to, you know, cause violence and everything. So money politics, which is then at the election, because we see money is just about money. There's even the youth, and the only way we can change the status quo is about participating actively and try to, you know, add our own quota, and try to, you know, contribute our own quota to the development of the country. And I think that is just my own opinion about it. And one of the solutions I think that we can try to use to encourage, like try to make sure we actually, you know, try to reduce these consequences of a thing. I think firstly it's just the corruption. We need to eliminate corruption, total elimination of corruption, or the barest minimum, so that our polity can continue to enjoy, like to be like the sinner client, as we all know about. So I think at this juncture, I think let me just try to, you know, draw so that others.
Yeah, Timadi, you took some point from what you said. Now I would like to hear your own view on it, because I'm getting somewhere just with time. So let me hear your view on it.
Okay, so can you just say the question again, so I can have a refresher, because I listened to him and I took some points. So just say the question again, so I can reply to it.
Yeah. Of recent now, I know political parties are recruiting members, but he said I should not use recruit. I should not say they are calling for new members to come into the party. Now my question is, do you really need to be in a political party before you can effect change in a community?
Well, so my point is basically to effect change in a community, I don't think you need to be in any party. Now we have to define what type of change we are talking about, you know, because community, if I, okay, like I grew up in Magodo is a community. So if I want to effect change in Magodo, I don't need to be in any party to effect change in Magodo, you know. So that the word community is really significant in this question.
What I'll do now,
so yeah,
if you want to make change in a nation, do you really need to belong to a political party before you can make that change?
Okay, so now in that question, if you want to effect change in a nation, political change, then you need to be in a political party because of how the system has been set up. Because change is different. There's medical change. You can do a medical innovation and change your nation. It doesn't require a political party. But in this context, I know you mean political change. And to change the nation politically, I think you have to be in a political party. So, and also, but what I think is that the way the political parties in Nigeria are set up, they're not set up how political parties should be set up, because APC, PDP, whatever, CNPP, blah, 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 they're not based on ideology, you know. So they're just parties. It's just like a group. It's just they're just groups, you know. So they don't really follow the fundamentals of what political parties should actually be like, because they're meant to be based on ideology, and it's meant to be maybe the left against the right or whatever type of ideology. But you're meant to be standing for something, and once your party is made up from ideology, it would be harder for people to actually switch parties, because it's very hard for ideology to change every 4 years. If you believe in something, you can't change it in 4 years. Then next 4 years, you change again, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think for political change, I think, yeah, you need, because of the way the system is, you have to be in a political party to actually effectively make political change in a country.
I think that was what Comrade Kukus was saying, that we have to change the ideology, you have to belong. So you can effect change from within. I think that's what he was trying to say. Come here, Kukus, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that's what I was trying to say. But you know, effecting change from within is easier said than done. You know, it's very easy to say to effect change from within, you know. But how long would that take?
I raised the other question. Are we not breeding new individual loyalism by recruiting new members? We are not bringing people that are okay. I'm loyal to the people. I'm loyal to the nation. You are bringing people that I'm loyal to one man. I'm loyal to this.
Yeah. So the thing is that type of thing is inevitable because of the type of the way we've grown. The youths of today, the youths that we have here, aren't different from the leaders, the people in power, because it's not an age thing. It's a mental thing. It's about how you were brought up. Now, a lot of activism is born out of frustration, you know. So people that, a lot of activists are, a lot of, not all, but most activists are activists because they've passed through hard times and they don't like it, so they're trying to change. And which is, and you not liking hard times and trying to fight against hard times is actually a natural instinct, you know. So some of the things we call activism is just natural instinct. You're meant to fight for freedom, you know, but some people don't act normal. So people that don't fight for freedom are actually abnormal. They're not actually normal people. So you're fighting for your freedom, fighting for whatever is a normal thing. So people always think activism and means the person is a good person or the person is going to be a good leader. No, the person is fighting because he's in a bad situation. That's why in every country in the world, it's very hard for you to see a billionaire's son that's an activist, because he's not going through the hard time, you know, and it's very hard for you fighting for, you know, people. A lot of people hardly fight for people. You know, you can't fight for anybody. Mm-hmm. You're fighting for yourself, you know. So, and that's why you see the NSAS protest that happened, you know. This is the first time I've seen the protest that it was classless and everything. And that was because it affected everybody. So it's not as if the people in Lekki are so passionate and really wanted the country to change. No, but because they knew that NSAS is the only problem that was facing everybody. Either you're poor, either you're rich, you know, they even target the rich a lot, the poor people, everybody, male, female, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like people in Nigeria were just really, we don't decide to become righteous and so good and we didn't like corruption again that we're trying to find answers. No. That's why now they've increased the electricity tariff. But nobody says anything because the rich people can still afford it. But nobody always struggles for the plight of the poor people unless it's a common goal. So activism doesn't always mean, it's not always heroism. You get, so it's just activism because you're feeling the pain, so you're fighting for it, you know. So taking those type of youths and putting them in the political party and thinking they can effect change is not going to, nothing is going to happen, you know. So it's very easy to say fight from within, but how many people are really conscious in Nigeria? How many conscious folks, not just because of a certain problem, but they are actually conscious, they really want a change, they are really selfless to the cause. You know, this NSAS stuff is making everybody, every Tom, Dick and Harry on Twitter or wherever, is not like an activist because they did the NSAS protest, you know. But it's beyond that. It's beyond protesting for what you should protest against. But do you have the discipline and do you have the strong mentality to be steadfast, to actually do what is right and stand by it, you know. So that's why I don't really buy the idea of trying to enter APC and trying to fight for within. It's very hard to fight for within because once they give you money, they're going to compromise you. If they can't compromise you, don't let you get to the top. So it's not easy for you to just think, yeah, so it's not a movie, you know. So that's why I just think that just recruiting youths, they're just recruiting or they're gathering youths to join these political parties so that they'll just shut them up, you know. Okay, so this is what you want to come. You know, so that's just the tactic. It's not like they really, you know, they've seen that, okay, these people now have finally woken up and know that, okay, yes, okay, so come. Let me just put maybe one or two of them and give them posts, you know, and shut them up and just keep it moving, you know. So if the mentality doesn't change, it's still the same cycle. Because all these people, Buhari was in power when he was a youth. A lot of the leaders, that were old leaders in Nigeria, they were there when they were youth, you know. So it's not an age thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Youth is not an ideology, you know. You're young, everybody's going to be young, you know. So it doesn't matter if you're young or it doesn't matter. Buhari, when he first ruled Nigeria, was young. A lot of these military guys were young guys, you know, but still, they're still corrupt, you know. So it doesn't really matter whether they're recruiting. If you don't change the mentality and actually strategically plan for 2023, it's going to be the same old cycle. It's just going to be younger oppressors, you know. So do you want oppression or don't you want oppression? So is that you just want a young person to oppress you or don't want, you know, so that's why this age thing doesn't really faze me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Younger and oppressor than oppressor, whether it's young or whether it's old, you know. So that's my take on this whole recruitment and this whole change.
Yeah, that's where George Dewey, African soldier, said we need a conscious revolution. That's what we need.
Exactly.
We need to change your mindset about everything before you can say you want change or this or that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so George Dewey, yeah. I would like you to hear your 2 cents on the question and topic and everything.
Well, honestly, the truth right now is they've said it all, because if you look at it from teammates' direction, he's taking his stand. Look at it from the other comrades' direction, he's taking his stance. But at the end of the day, what I'll just chip in is... you don't need to be in a political party to make a change per se. But like teammate said, if you are looking at making a political change, as far as democracy is concerned, political party are very important in terms of democracy, because they are based on inclusiveness and that's like a factor or an organization whereby you can get the people together for a common goal, either based on ideology or whatsoever. So if we're talking of political change, political parties are important in terms of democracy. So now, in attempting the question, like you said, in terms of recruiting and you need to join a political party to effect change. Yes, you need to be in a political party, but it mustn't be APC or PDP. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you spoke about recruiting. Honestly, yes, I think it has become evident in the eyes of our political elite, like I always love to call them. It has become evident now. They know the people, at least a good percentage of the people now know these things. Like I always keep saying, how many people know these things? How many people understand the problems? And how many people understand the solution? And how many people are ready to speak out for to change the problems we have in Nigeria? So it's evident that a lot of people now understand these problems, and a lot of people don't want to sit down and be quiet like before, like it used to be. It's no longer business as usual. So I think the best answer for, or the best tactics for the political elite now is to bring them together. Like I said last week, according to history, and the best weapon for every revolution is to unpick certain people and bring them together and try to shut them up. What's his name? Bobby Wine said something. He said, real freedom, in his word, he said, real freedom is when you have power against money and you don't fear debt. In the sense that if you have power against money, no one can bribe you. And if you don't fear debt, you are not scared to die, you understand? So, according to history, the only weapon oppressors have for any revolution is to try to unpick certain people and shut them up. So now, it is glaring to our political elites that, that the only way they can shut people up or shut a particular people up is to unpick certain people, like you call it, recruiting people and try to bring them in. Because like Teju said, you can't really effect change in such organization, in a party like PDP or APC. Because I always say, or like I said last week, it's like a recycle process. You keep, we keep recycling leaders from Buhari to this person, to this person, to this person. The next person will come, it could be Atiku, the next person will come. And you realize that for the past 10 years, or for the past 20 years, Nigeria is still being run by the same military oppressors or military
dictators.
Carcass, you understand? Exactly. It's just like they will come back under the disguise of democracy and say, okay, it's my turn to rule. It's like, okay, now is your turn, take it. Now is your turn, take it. Now is your turn, take it. So now effecting is such party is going to take a lot, because you don't have say, and at the end of the day, they cannot control your mind, they cannot control you, they cannot control how you react. So we all say it's difficult for any party outside PDP or APC to be able to win elections, but at the end of the day, that's why we always preach mass movement of the people. We need the people to come together under an umbrella with the same identity, with the same ideology. Like Teju said, being a youth is not an ideology. And I've always said that over time. I'm sure whenever you and I have a conversation, I always tell you it's not an issue of being a youth. Dimeji Bankole was a youth when he was Speaker of the House of Representatives, and we all know his story. So even Yakubu Gowon was 30 something when he was military head of state. So it's not a matter of age right now. It's a matter of an upright person, someone who understands the plight of the people. It's a matter of someone who understands the problem and someone who is ready to fight for the common man. You understand? It's not a matter of because I'm a youth I will effect change. I always say it over time, and I'm not afraid to say it. The youths of Nigeria or Africa are not ready. NSAS, myself and teammate, we always joke, NSAS has made everybody feel like everyone now is not an activist. Everyone believe that they have a say. Everyone believe now that they have an opinion. Everyone believe that they are woke. But at the end of the day, it deals with the consciousness, the mindset, like I always preach. Do you really understand what it means to say you are woke? Or do you really understand what it means by being conscious? You understand? So it's not a matter of being a youth or being very young. It's a matter of understanding the plight of the people. You understand? So in attempting the question, sorry, yes, you need to be in a political party to effect political change. But I would end again on this note. It doesn't have to be APC or PDP. Thank you.
I think we've all come to a conclusion now that you need to be in a political party to effect political change. But that being said, it does not necessarily have to be APC or PDP.
Yeah.
So onto the next question. The I've noticed something in the Nigerian political space. There's a fourth force that people don't know. It's called civil societies. I call them watchdog of communities. And a lot of civil societies have now been bought by individual people that have the power to. Like the Northern Elders Forum and all those other forums, they are watchdogs of community. But now, they've tilted their own ideology into sentiments, religious sentiments, ethnic sentiments. Nothing now is based on facts anymore. So the question I want to throw at everyone now is that, what's the way forward, number one? Number two, how did we get to this point that nobody now has free speech? That's what I would call it, free speech, because everybody's ability to speak on the truth now has been bought by one political party or one political influence or one individual's influence or the other. Yeah, I will start with Teju.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, first, you said, you spoke about a lot of free speech and everything about and people being bought and stuff.
They went inside and they didn't call out to those who they were pushing that, oh, come inside, oh, come inside, you understand? There's a difference between there's a difference between understanding what you are fighting and understanding how you are fighting or why you are fighting. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yes, now, I understand.
Okay, there's a difference between understanding what you are fighting, understanding why you are fighting. So many of these civil societies, they don't really understand what they are fighting and why they are fighting. You understand? So it's more about popularity, power contest, and popularity contest. Many of these civil societies, many of them want to be heard. Many of them want to be known. Many of them...
Last week, we hoped that Bobi Wine would win the election. And Museveni, we actually accredit the fact that Bobi Wine won the election. But to our not greatest surprise, because it was not a surprise to us, everybody was already saying that this was going to happen. Museveni is still in power. He's still the president of Uganda after how many years? 36 years. Another 5 years has been added to his reign of terror, and bring it out to Nigeria. Let me just move fast. Bring it out to Nigeria. If everybody has been conversant to the news now, you will notice that there is this particular figure. He has already tasted power. I don't know what he's still looking for. He has been a Senate president. He has been a governor, but now he's moving to become a president. I don't know why. But he has a right to actually vote and be voted for. So I'm not even condemning that. But is Africa really ready for that change? Or we just want to keep on recycling leaders with no end in sight, with no change in sight?
Okay,
let me quickly attempt that, because I need to do something quickly very soon. Sorry. All so right. I'll just round up. Okay, so your question, is Africa really ready for that change? That's why I keep saying mindset is the factor. I always say everybody understands the problem in Africa. Every person, and I said it last week, that even a little child understands that the problem in Nigeria, or in Africa in general, because if you wake up a little child and ask him what doesn't he or she like, he will tell you power, or he wants light every time. And I use it to explain that means the child understands that there's a power failure system in Africa. So everybody understands the system in Africa. So when you're talking about, are we really ready for that change? Honestly and sadly, no. Because now, people need to understand these problems, and people need to understand certain factors, like solutions, and understand how to achieve success in terms of the change that we are clamoring for, you understand? So people need to understand that the problems, we need to pass the situation of complaining and ranting on Twitter like we always do. We need to start looking for solutions. We need to start acting on our solutions. So a good number of Africans, a good number of us, I would include myself in that, we are not really ready in terms of, we don't really understand how to tackle this problem technically, and how to tackle them once and for all. It's more about change. Do you understand the change you're asking for? Do you understand the change you want? Do you understand how to go about that change? So honestly and sadly, I think Africa is not really ready for that change. And a lot of people think 2023 would, because of the SARS protest, and a lot of youth now feel that they are not ready and they are not woke, like we always say. So a lot of people feel like 2023, they will make a difference. In my own opinion, I feel like if we don't learn to tackle things now before 2023. I feel like 2023 will just be another a continuation of 2029, and even worse than 2029, because the same people will still come and recycle themselves. Look at like you said, he has been a senator, he has been governor, and he's going to be president. Although he hasn't come out to say he wants to be president, it's just personal opinions. People thinking those are his plans. But at the end of the day, it's more about passing it around, tossing it around from one person to another. It's more like a group of friends passing it around. Now is your turn. Now is your turn. Now is your turn. Let's fight and act like we are enemies, but it's your turn. You understand what I mean by that? So I feel like if we don't tackle the problems now and understand that the people need to understand that right now they need to come out together as one, and they need to come out together as one, and everybody needs to come out in one voice and say enough is enough, under one umbrella and with one ideology and with one agenda. Not this person asking for A, not this person asking for B. Like I always say, or like I said last week, we need to go away from the agenda of negotiating. That okay, give me this and I will go. Give us maybe someone from the north this time around, then we'll keep quiet. Or the easterners are saying, okay, give us someone from the east now as president, then we'll keep quiet. We need to go beyond that. It's not a matter of where the person is from. It's not a matter of who the person is. It's a matter of someone who understands the plight of the people. And how can you get to that stage whereby we'll get a reliable candidate? Is if the people can start saying enough is enough. We need to start calling them at their wrongs. Whenever they do things wrong, we need to start saying it. The way it is, you understand, we need to start tackling and making our political leaders understand that we understand this now, we see these things, and we know these things, and we need them to stop these things. So it's not about saying we want change, it's about acting on the change, it's about standing our ground and acting on the stage, or on the change, sorry. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Sorry, I'll mute myself now, of course. But I'll just stay on the call.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deju, you can.
Yes. So, see the question again, sorry, so I can stay on track.
Yes, I said the is Africa ready for the change it's clamoring for? Because now Museveni has now returned as the president now for another 5 years. Nobody's saying anything.
Yes,
everybody's just looking at each other's faces, and there's this news in Nigeria. It's a news. That's what I'll call it. A news in Nigeria that a particular character, he has been senator before, he has been a governor, he has people, he has placed in places of authority, now wants to become a president. Do we really need to continue that way, or are we not ready for the change we are clamoring for?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so I understand the question now. So first things first, I'll tackle them as a first things first for the case of Uganda, Museveni and Bobby Wine. You said, and everybody's looking, there's nothing else. What can anybody do? Because you know, there's no African country can actually do anything. Because is it Nigeria that wants to go and say, is it Nigeria, is it Buhari? Buhari doesn't have the integrity or the right to go and try and stop a dictator in Uganda. Because it's also, you know, someone that people cannot be saying someone in another country should not steal. Because Buhari's regime or administration is also guilty of election of electoral fraud. So he has no way to go to Uganda and say, I'm trying to do anything, you know. So that's the problem of Africa, you know. Almost every country is filled with powerless people, powerless presidents, powerless civil society, powerless, everybody just powerless. They can't really do anything because a lot of them are
figureheads.
Figureheads, and they're disconnected from the masses. You can see Bobby Wine was connected with the masses, and that's why the president had to go to the extreme, which was glaring, and everybody was so obvious that the people were no more with him, even though he eventually lost, which was definitely certain, because you can't democratically remove a dictator, you know, in an election dictator did, you know. So it was just a charade and just a fanfare. He just used that as an ability to further enforce his own power, that regardless of what comes out, he's still president. You know, he just wanted to, I think that president, that election was just like a show of force by Museveni to just show that there's nothing you guys can do. He just wanted to spit on the face of Uganda. That's why I think see that election as, you know. So, but anyways, back to the main question, is that are Africans really ready for change? I think that in reality, political change, a lot of people don't really have to be ready, or majority of people don't have to be ready. When it happens, it's going to happen. Then you get in the program, you know, because it's like a revolution. Nobody is really ready for it. Revolution happens when they expect it. You know, like the NSAS project, just like joke. It's not like people were planning for months, okay, by so month or something, you know. It's just something that has to ignite and sparks that fire, and then, you know. So that's why the consciousness is always important. Once you keep giving people consciousness to the same level, as you keep building small. Once the fire ignites it, then it has a ripple effect or a domino effect or whatever, and then everything occurs. So if you're saying, literally, are Africans ready for the change? No, they are not, because, you know, it's very hard for them to be ready when there's so much poverty. You know, I keep talking about poverty, but, you know, once you are physically poor, your mindset is also poor. And once your mindset is poor, anything can enter. You have no strong will. You can't really
resist.
Do anything because your mindset is poor. Yeah, you can't resist. You know, there's always an example. I think it's by Joseph Stalin. There was a time he was on stage. I think it's Joseph Stalin. I'm not sure. But he had a chicken, and then plucked out all the feathers of the chicken, live chicken. And the chicken was crying, was in pain, you know, plucked out the chicken, the feathers live and everything. And then he put the chicken, I think he broke the chicken's leg and everything, and then he put the chicken on the floor. And chicken was trying to run away because, you know, the person was hurting him. But then he took, like, the corn or something and put it on his leg. And then the chicken came and started eating the corn from his feet, you know. Because even though the man did something bad to the hen,
mm-hmm.
but because the hen is helpless and is still hungry, you know, it still came to eat, because it still has to eat, you know. And that's human, and that's animal nature. If you have a dog, if you have anything, they like food. And humans, we like food. Food, it doesn't have to be real food, but money. So once people are very, very, very poor, it's very hard for them to actually stand on anything, you know. And the poverty in Africa is really alarming, you know. So they are just like, they're just going with the flow, you know. So they can't really, it's very hard for them to really stand firm on anything. So that's why they're not really ready for the change, because you can't tell a hungry man that you can't be preaching consciousness to someone that's hungry, has not eaten for 2 days. He wants to eat. So anything for him to eat, he's going to do it to eat. You can't be telling him about that the system is messed up, that he needs to do revolution, you know. And that's why I like the initiative during the NSAS protest of giving people food. You know, you have to give them, you have to entice them and give them incentives, you know, because people, like the situation of the continent is terrible, you know. So the change we're expecting, a lot of people are not ready for it. But if we just need a few, not just like a tangible amount of people who are willing and who are ready to push for the change, and then things will follow dramatically. But it has to be strategic, you know. So that's what I'm saying. If we are not strategic with our plans as individuals that want change, and if we are not being realistic with ourselves, the same thing is going to keep happening until it just blows out of proportion, until maybe a violent revolution happens or a war or whatever happens, you know. But if we still want it peacefully, we the young people, or as we are now, we have to start thinking of the future, you know. We have to we shouldn't be expecting immediate change to happen. Oh, you just thought of something by July. I think by October you'll, you know, results. You know, we have to be realistic. I know that the problem we're facing that's been happening for years, you know, as to overcome it, we need to take time strategically and think deep and actually plan and be ready to sacrifice all that we have to really effect this change. So as long although a lot of us are not ready
for
change, but once the change happens, people will follow suit. So that's what I think.
I hope we've been able to learn one or two things from today, because we don't just do the podcast for podcasting. We are doing it to enlighten the people of Nigeria, typically Africa, that you have a right to demand what you want. You have a right to question the government. You have a right to ask any political leader that this is what you promised to do. This is what you have done. You've not met up to the standard. So you have a right to keep on asking questions, keep on demanding, because if you don't demand, it will look as if you are satisfied with what they are doing, but you have to keep on demanding and keep on asking. So we've come to the end of today's podcast. I'd like to say a big thank you to Judge Dre, African Soldier, and Teju Timade. So hopefully next week we'll be here again discussing Africa and Nigeria as a whole. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, bye. Thank you.